A lot of people believe that worthiness is earned. And so, whether that's a religious thing, or whether that's a social thing, or whether that's just the way that we've all learned it, it's I earn my worth by what I do. And I look at it differently. I look at it as I'm already worthy because I'm me and because I'm here, and nobody else can be me. And so, because I'm looking at it from that lens, everything I do isn't chasing love, isn't chasing worth, isn't chasing value, because I'm already loved, because I'm already worthy, because I'm already valuable. So everything I'm doing, instead of chasing and trying to earn, is just in true alignment with who I already am, which is love.
Welcome to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute with me, Gina Warfel, a podcast that invites you on a journey to self-trust with your food and body so you can reclaim your health with confidence. As a registered dietitian who has multiple degrees in health, and yet I was constantly at war with my body and couldn't trust myself with food, I've made it my mission to show you that coming into harmony with your food and body is all possible. I challenge conventional and outdated ways of dieting to show you how to step into sovereignty over your food choices and life. I can't wait to share with you the depths of my own journey, as well as thoughts from experts and real human beings on their journey, just like you. Thanks for listening. Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute podcast. Today, we are going to get into a really yummy, juicy topic with my amazing friend, Jeremy Cameron. And before we do, I am podcasting from a really fun place. Jeremy and I are here in Nicaragua, and we've been at this retreat together doing some deeper work and going deeper into ourselves and our own journey, and it's prompted some really amazing conversations. And recently, I shared something on Instagram about a moment that I realized that I didn't love myself a few years ago, probably about 4 years ago now. And it hit me so hard. And I shared that really vulnerable post on Instagram about what I've been discovering about what self-love means to me. And people commented on that post and they were like, please go deeper into this. And so as I've been here at this retreat in Nicaragua and doing my own deeper self-discovery and what does it mean to love myself, to love other people, this word love is so common but poorly understood. What does it all mean? And my incredible friend Jeremy, who is an expert on love, unconditional love, the author of a book, and it's going to be all about love. And he is a transformational coach. And so you are the most extraordinary person to talk about this topic. Thanks for being here, Jeremy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to jam on this topic of love because it's so poorly understood. Like, what is love, self-love, unconditional love? Our society has like such a distorted view. How does that even happen? How do you think that happens?
Well, I think we grow up with certain understanding of what love is, whether it's through our families or whether it's through what we see in the media. You see a romance movie and it says, hey, Sam, the small town baker, is going to go find Susie, the lawyer, and true love is going to win her heart over and over. And we see these messages that tell us what love is. Mm-hmm. And so we only know what we know.
Right. And so what is it? Is it those things? Because I remember thinking that, like, in relationship, that if he does something for me and makes me feel a certain way, then I feel loved. Or even for myself, if I do certain things for myself, if I take care of myself, then that means love. Is mm-hmm. that what, like, what does love mean? Or dive into this topic for me.
Absolutely. So for me, love is everything. So it is the feeling. So it is that warm butterflies that you get when it's like, oh my God, somebody loves me, or somebody noticed me, or I love myself, or I'm so proud of myself. That's all part of love. But love is also freedom. Love is also the ability to be yourself. And love is the space to allow yourself or somebody else to just show up exactly how they are without judging them.
I think it can be scary though, because some people are like, if I just fully, when we're talking about like self-love, if I just fully love myself, what if I don't ever change? And if I do that, if I love myself and I accept myself, just like the way that you're talking about, I won't be motivated to change. Is that true?
So in my experience, and I've started like years and years and years ago, I was a personal trainer. I was a nutrition coach. And I was all about the motivation to hit the number, to get the result. And I thought that was loving myself. And I actually became a coach because I wanted people to tell me that I was changing their lives so that I could believe that I was lovable, because I didn't love myself. And so I was getting it from everybody else. Oh my God, you're such amazing. You've changed my life. I'm so grateful that you exist, and I'm so grateful that you're here. I didn't believe that about myself. And so getting that external validation gave me the opportunity to really hear it. And so when I was getting it, it felt good. And when I wasn't getting it, it felt terrible.
And I think that we do that a lot with our jobs, our relationships, you know, performance like you talked about with other people, and needing that like reassurance to know, like, am I, where does that come from? Why do we need that external source?
So a lot of people believe that worthiness is earned. And so whether that's a religious thing, or whether that's a social thing, or whether that's just the way that we've all learned it, it's, I earn my worth by what I do. And I look at it a different way. I look at it as, I'm already worthy because I'm me, because I'm here, and nobody else can be me. And so because I'm looking at it from that lens, everything I do isn't chasing love, isn't chasing worth, isn't chasing value, because I'm already loved, because I'm already worthy, because I'm already valuable. So everything I'm doing, instead of chasing and trying to earn, is just in true alignment with who I already am, which is love.
So let's just say that you just are, you are love, you are enough, you're all of this, you don't need anything outside of you to do it. But then what? Are you just going to be like, well, I'm already enough, so I don't need to do any of these things. I don't need, if you don't need, does it also kind of, is there enough intrinsic motivation?
So it actually shifts from I need to I get to. And so
instead of, I love that,
I need to do this or I should do this. I get to do this because this is in alignment with who I am. This is exciting for me. This is passion for me. This is purpose for me. And I find all the motivation I need in passion and purpose and destiny.
Wow. What do you think it looks like for people when they're not living in that alignment?
So I used to...
How would people know if they don't... Yeah. If they're not finding love from the inside out, if they're using it externally, like how would you know that?
So I used to be there. And the way that I noticed it myself is I would either feel really, really full of love or really, really empty of love based on what was happening around me. So if I had a really good day, if my boss noticed my work, if I had a fun date, my love cup is full. If I did amazing work and nobody noticed, or if I just, it was a Monday, and I just come home and I would notice the highs and the lows. And it's because it was everything outside of me. And I chased all these things outside of me. I tried all these different hobbies, all these activities.
Yeah.
I became good at a lot of things, trying to prove that I was lovable. And the whole time, spoiler alert, I always was.
Yeah.
So I got good at all this stuff, trying to prove something I already was.
How was that time for you? Like that chapter in your life, or what was that experience like?
It was exhausting because I would get to the thing that I thought would be the fulfillment. And it was satisfying for about 5 to 10 minutes. And then I was so goal-oriented, I was on to the next thing.
Because it wasn't actually the source of love.
It was just the source of the dopamine hit that would last me for 5 to 10 minutes until I needed the next one.
And how often does that happen that we learn that lesson of like, oh, I thought when I hit this weight goal, or I thought when I made this much money, I was going to feel this wholeness or this fulfillment that I've been looking for. And then it's like, surprise, you get there. And then it's like, okay, the next thing. I really resonate with everything that you're saying, because I think I didn't understand. I thought that I really, truly, deeply thought that I loved myself. But I was feeling what you were feeling, which was like I was extremely busy all the time. From morning, 5 a.m., my alarm would go off, and I would jump, run to the gym, go to work, try and achieve all these goals. And by the end of the day, I never felt like I did enough, and I never felt like I had enough time. And my internal state was, there's never enough time. I don't have enough time to meditate. I don't have enough time to work out. I don't have enough time to cook. And I didn't realize that the reason why I felt so overwhelmed and like I didn't have enough time is because I was needing like all of those things that I was trying to fetch for like my worthiness or my self-love, and just really feeling very empty inside at the same time and not knowing why. And I remember one of my friends, he asked me, he was like, Gina, do you love yourself? And I was like, yeah, I think I do, but I didn't really know what love meant or looked like. So I was like, yeah, I work out. I'm glad that I'm goal oriented. I like to take care of myself. But then the realization I had was that love isn't consistent. The love is only there when I'm doing those things. So I felt so overwhelmed. I got to do all these things all the time or else the love won't be there. And then he was like, oh, Gina, that's not love. Those are conditions. And I was like, wait, but no, I practice unconditional love because that's what you're supposed to do. And he's like, that's not unconditional love. And I was like, oh, shit. If loving myself isn't goals or work or health, what would I love myself for?
And when you get into unconditional love, I love you is a complete sentence. As soon as I say I love you when, I love you if, I love you because, I love you for, there's an implied I don't love you if.
When.
I don't love you when. And those are conditions that we put on ourselves. So I love you if you're going to the gym. I love you if you're eating all the right foods. I remember when I first started down my path, I went into a mastermind program and I sat down with some friends and I started writing down, and it was like, what's your relationship with your body? And I was like, I judge myself. And then I judge myself for judging myself.
I know that story.
And so I would love, air quotes, myself when I was on my nutrition plan, on my diet plan, on my gym plan, but take a day off and just miss once. And nobody could beat my ass harder than me.
Oh, and then you beat yourself up for beating yourself up. A lot of people know that, that loop and that cycle, which is really a painful place to be in. You're just like, you're already... how heartbreaking that is to be like, you're not doing the things you should be doing. So I'm going to withhold my own love from you.
And if I can't love myself, how can I receive love from anybody else? We can only give and receive love to the extent that we love ourselves.
So if you, and I remember thinking, well, once I realized that, I might be conditionally loving myself, but I unconditionally love other people. Is that possible?
I'm going to call a no on that.
I know. I think I am. Now that I'm on the other side of it, I'm like, oh, yeah, if that's the way that I know how to love, how could I practice love for other people that way?
Right. And unconditional love is actually a lifestyle. It's saying, I just love you. You haven't done anything to earn my love. And how much of my love you receive is totally your choice. So I offer you love unconditionally with no expectation of you receiving all, some, or none of it. And you get to choose how much of that love you want to receive based on what feels really good to you in that moment. And I have no control over what you do with it. And you have no control over the fact that I just love you.
That sounds very unattached and it sounds very easy, but I feel like in reality, those concepts of unconditionally loving both ourselves and other people can be challenging, a whole new way of thinking and being.
Absolutely. And like if we were looking at a diet plan and Let's say somebody had been eating standard American diet their whole life, and you come and talk to them and say, hey, there's this vibrant, healthy, amazing way that you can eat. And they're looking at it and going, but my cheeseburgers. It's very similar. And so just like you would do in your Mastery Mindfulness program, love, we're going to take things a step at a time. We're going to find something that you can do right now, today, this week, that's a step toward fully loving yourself.
That's beautiful, because I do think that one of the main reasons why we don't, or some don't love themselves, is because it feels so intimidating to go from like, wait, but I've been in this place of really being hard on myself, shaming myself, and now you just want to jump into like, I love you and I love everything about you, and which I do all, I also want to get into, like, is that what love means? But I do want to backtrack a little bit from what you were saying about your story, and, you know, being a trainer and into nutrition, and you were like, I love my, you know, when did you have that realization of what conditional love is versus unconditional, and that it wasn't really real?
So my world came crashing down about 10 years ago. A long-term relationship I was in ended, and I realized I was really codependent in that relationship. And so one of the last warning signs for me was just before that relationship ended, I became a personal trainer, because I wasn't giving myself that love, and I wasn't receiving that love that I was expecting from that partner. And so I started looking everywhere desperately for that love. And then as I went out and spent a year rebuilding myself and finding out who I was, then I went back and I went and spent a year just really learning how to love myself, learning how lovable I am.
Like, you decided, like, you were like, this is my intention of what I'm going to do, or it just happened that way?
Like, I set an intention for that year, and I was like, this is the year I'm going to really dive into loving myself.
Yeah.
And it's been a journey since then, but I just set a goal for myself, and it was like, hey, this is my word for this year. It's love.
Okay. And what did that look like? What was that process like?
So it looked more like letting go of everything that wasn't me. Instead of trying to become something that I already am.
Oh, interesting. So instead of finding and becoming love, you were just letting go of what it is not. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So what I found was there was a lot of conditioning. There was a lot of, hey, you have to do this to fit in. You have to do this to be normal. I'm sitting there going, you know what? I actually don't want to be normal. I'd just rather be myself. And what I found is, as I was willing to take that risk, because there were some people that I had known that weren't wanting to go there with me. So it meant losing some friendships. It meant losing some connections. But as I did, as I started showing up more as my authentic self, all these new amazing people came in. And now my life is so full and vibrant with these amazing people who see me and love me and get me.
Can you share a little bit about what you were discovering that is not love and is not you?
Absolutely. So what I was discovering that wasn't love and wasn't me was trying to fit in was a big one. Trying to belong was a big
one. What did that look like?
So I would do, like, I was the try-hard guy. Like, I would be like, okay, I'm going to make the funniest joke, and those are always the ones that bomb. And I'm trying. And like,
I get that.
I'm the guy who would drive 8 hours to hang out with somebody for an hour. So I was the guy who was putting all the effort in and thought that was love. And so, hey, let me go over the top and extravagant to show you how much I love you.
Was that a learned thing from childhood?
No, that was just,
it just
desperation.
Ah, okay.
And so I peeled back and said, you know what? It's interesting. I wonder what would happen if I just showed up as me. Oh, weird.
Like, with boundaries and
what
you want, what you don't want.
And so I started setting those boundaries, and we can get into boundaries as well. That's a fun one. But I just started being like, hey, this part that I'm doing doesn't feel authentic to me. What if I just let that go? Okay, this behavior doesn't feel authentic to me. It feels like I'm trying to force something for love rather than from love.
What does that feel like? How do you know what is authentic to you and what isn't?
So I'm a performer. I play music. I do a lot of things. I got into a lot of hobbies. Most of my life's been about performance. I can feel the difference when something is for love versus from love. Mm. And I was talking to a friend of mine about it, and he was like, when it's for love, it's about everybody outside of you and everybody around you. So when I would play music for love, maybe there was a cute girl in the audience and I wanted to impress her. Maybe I wanted this group of friends to see, oh, he's really good. Let's hang out with him more. Maybe I wanted people to see and go, oh, he's really funny. Let's include him. And so it was all for love, for belonging, for connection.
Which is not true love. Because you're right. wanting something outside of you to fill something inside of you.
Uh-huh. Okay. And I'm actually offering a transaction in that case. I'm actually like,
it's like a money exchange. Uh-huh. You're like, if I do this, then I'll receive love back. Uh-huh.
So talking about being worthy of love and trying to earn love, here I am on stage trying to actually
love me. Uh-huh. Wow. And so we could, that's so funny. I had realized that with my ex-boyfriend that like, when I would come over to his house and I would start cleaning and he wouldn't even notice. And I would get so angry that he wouldn't say thank you. Uh-huh. And I was like, but he didn't ask me to do this. What is happening? Like, why am I so angry that I'm not getting appreciation and showered in love for cleaning? And then I realized it was this transactional love that I was like, if I clean, I expect him to show me love in return. Mm-hmm. And I was so angry when he didn't. It took me a while to work through that one.
And expectations are so gnarly. Because as a mutual friend of ours says, expectations are just prepaid disappointments. And so if I am showing up with an expectation, that means that only one way that it works out can be a success and every other way is a fail.
Which is probably why we get hung up on our goals, because we set an expectation, I better be able to do this. And if I mess up once in life, I don't work out, I don't eat healthy, then I don't love you. The transaction's not complete. Love received.
Right. Declined.
Declined.
And so if it's just saying, all right, I'm choosing connection instead of expectation, I'm choosing connection instead of attachment, then I get to be really, really clear on what I want and really, really open to receive however that comes in for me. And so all of a sudden, instead of love only being able to come in one way for me, I'm now really clear about the love I am and the love I want. And I allow that love to come in however it wants to for me.
I mean, that's really beautiful. I think it's hard for people to not have a certain level of expectation of like, well, if you don't, because then how do you know? You know, it's like when people are like, I'm not going to give my love if I don't receive it in return. Mm-hmm. So would that be transactional expectation?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's actually transactional and conditional. Mm. I will give love if I
get it back. Uh-huh. Wow. So you're discovering all these ways that was not truly your own love for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so one of those things was when you were overgiving, self-sacrificing. Mm-hmm. Was there anything else that you learned along that way?
What I learned in those moments of just taking things to the extreme is that nobody can love me like me.
Whoa.
And
that's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it like makes me emotional. Like,
yeah. And if I'm doing that, my love cup is always full. So I'm always coming from a place of love. Because I'm giving myself love all the time.
You always have the ability to. It doesn't have to be conditional. You can always generate it from the inside out, right? Whoa.
And then what I tell people is I'm like, so the love that I'm giving you, it's not coming from a place of scarcity where, oh crap, if I give, I'm going to run out. So I like to think of it more as like you go to the amusement park. And you get in that water ride And the first two rows, they hand out those plastic hoods and they call that the splash zone. So if you're around me, you're getting the splash zone. And it's just like, okay, there's so much love here that you're just receiving what's just splashing out of me. It's not depleting me in any way. It's just me being me.
Was that transition hard? As you mentioned, like sometimes that came with losing friends. And I think that that can be really difficult because, like, when we start, like, loving ourselves is setting boundaries, right? And I do remember a lot of people saying, like, I want to honor myself and love myself, but it doesn't fit in with the people that I'm around. They want me to drink with them when I don't want to drink alcohol. They want me to do these things and I don't want to do those things. So now you're like at a crossroads. Do I self-sacrifice and do those things? Or do I lose connection and love in my life? Like, I mean, how is that for you?
So the way I look at it is unconditional love, conditional boundaries. So I'm not giving and withholding love based on how people are showing up. I'm feeling into, does this feel renewing for me, or does this feel depleting for me? And that's what I use to set my boundary. It has nothing to do with the other person. It's my own boundary for myself. And so if I'm setting a boundary that says, I need this here in this moment because it's where I'm at. Like, I had a friend come over a couple months ago, and amazing friend, and they just came up to me and said, hey, I'm in a really tender place right now. Would it be all right if we didn't hug today? I'm not feeling physical touch right now. And I said, absolutely, that's totally okay. They were like, I'm totally cool hanging out. I just need some space there. And so we set that boundary for that moment. And then later they came back to me and said, okay, I'm feeling better now. Can I have that hug?
Oh my gosh.
And so that felt really cool. So the way I look at boundaries, I love boundaries because it creates so much clarity between two people. If I know where our boundaries are, we can play anywhere in that sandbox. If we don't know where our boundaries are, we might be bumping into each other. We might be crossing unspoken boundaries. And that creates all kinds of gray area and confusion. It can feel really constricting. It can feel really, really hard to navigate if boundaries aren't clear. And so I look at boundaries and I'm like, they're amazing. I love to set them. I love to honor them. And boundaries can be dynamic based on what we need in this present moment.
That's really refreshing because I think people don't know how to set boundaries and they don't know how to receive them. So you can like bring people into this, that boundary setting is okay. Where sometimes when we don't, I think we can view boundaries as like you're being selfish or you're being standoffish or rude or whatever it is. Because how often do we have this idea that self-sacrifice equals love or loyalty or something,
Yeah.
right?
So instead of boundaries being selfish, I might say the boundaries are self-loving. And if I can love myself first, maybe call that selfish. I might call that sustainable. So if I'm choosing to love myself first, then I have the ability to show up in my full capacity for everybody around me.
That's such a great point because we tend to associate sacrifice, self-sacrifice, as being for other people. But, like, where does that get us?
So I grew up in religion, and from a young age, I remember at 3 years old singing a song in this church. It spelled out joy. It used the letters JOY, and it was Jesus, others, and you. Guess who's last at that? At 3 years old, I'm learning that I come last. And so not only do we start thinking that it's an honorable thing, I thought it was exactly what I was supposed to do. When I got into that codependent relationship I mentioned earlier, I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do. Like, I literally made the choice because I was like, I'm choosing to let myself go so that we can build this identity together.
Whoa, which looked like what?
Which looked like me totally sacrificing myself.
Mm.
And that didn't work for either one of us.
Didn't work out.
Uh-uh.
You get further. It's like when you don't set boundaries and love yourself, you get further and further from knowing
mm-hmm.
who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just focused. All it's like all your attention is outward on other people. You don't even know who you are anymore.
And if somebody is receiving you and they're running past unspoken boundaries, they aren't really knowing you. They're knowing what you're showing them. And so if I'm sacrificing and I'm creating another identity that's not me in order to be connected, even when I receive what I thought I wanted, it's not me that's receiving it. It's that other identity that
wow.
I've created.
So they don't know you. You don't know you. Which is why you can probably feel really lost in it. Like, who am I? I don't even know who I am. Which can be a beautiful self-discovery, I would imagine, when you do start loving yourself.
And in the short term, it can be fun and exciting because it's hormones. But in the long term, I've never met anybody who said, you know, I'm really glad that I created this alter ego that receives all the love that I want.
Right. So we talked about how conditional love is like, if at any time you're like, I love you if, I love you when, I love you but, is there anything you want to add to that or start going into what is the opposite? What does unconditional love look like?
So unconditional love to me just feels like it's just pure energy at its core. And it feels pure. It feels generous. It feels spacious. It feels free. So to me, the difference between unconditional love and conditional love, like if I'm looking at this and let's say I'm placing my hand on top of yours and we can just connect whenever we want and we're both in choice, that is unconditional love. So we both are in choice. If I'm grasping and I'm pulling, all of a sudden that's scarcity. That's conditional love. I'm trying so hard to hold on to what I have, but as I close my hand, there's no space for me to have more. If I keep my hand open, I can receive everything for me.
So how do you navigate that either with yourself or in relationship when you're like, okay, so I want to love myself, but I also want things to be different, whether I want myself to be different, I want my partner to be different.
So to how do you navigate? That's the difference between the person and the behavior. So I love you, and this behavior you're doing is driving me crazy. So rather than you do this, you're this way, you are. So as soon as I start attaching I am to something, that's identity. And so like if I say I am angry, there's a big difference between saying I am angry and I feel angry. Right now, we're both are acknowledging the feeling, but I am angry means I am choosing to identify with the feeling of anger, and that's part of my identity right now. And if I choose to go into a conversation with a partner and say, hey, I'd love to co-create something with you. I love you. This has nothing to do with you. This is just my feeling, and this is what I've noticed in this behavior. Can we have a conversation about it? Do you have space to have that conversation? And if they do, then okay, cool. This is what I've noticed. Can we work together as a team to co-create a solution that works for both of us?
Wow. But you could have that conversation with yourself.
Yeah. So I could look at myself and say, you know what, self, hey, we've been doing this. This behavior hasn't been working. Can we get really curious and see if we can find another way that might work a little better for us?
Yes. I still love you. I'm here for you.
Uh-huh.
We're going to figure this out together.
Uh-huh.
Let's do this.
And curiosity is one of my favorite ways to go into love. Like, it's so hard to be judgmental or to be frustrated when you're in curiosity. Like, if you think about just like being curious about the world.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so curious about what's going on right here. If we went into those behavioral conversations with, I'm so curious with why we're having this challenge here.
Is that how you navigate judgment? Is that the antidote to judgment? Is it curiosity?
It's one of my favorite ways. It's that, and it's also creating space for different. So instead of using terms like good and bad, right and wrong, higher or lower, I'll just use different.
Oh.
Because like you and I could have different perspectives.
Mm.
If we're calling them different, whose is right?
Which is a huge mind something for a lot of people because they're like, no, the burger is bad because it's not in alignment with what I decided I was going to do. It's bad. And now you're going to tell me it's just different. Like it's a weird thing to wrap your head around when you've been told this is right and this is wrong.
And the question would be, all right, so you have a drop of water, cheeseburger, piece of French fry. Which one's better? Which one's worse? I don't know.
And so you ask, right. What opinion?
Everybody's going to have an opinion on it. And there's going to be a lot of science around all of it. So when the reason I use different is because I realize that I'm not in a position to be anybody's judge. Like, I don't know everybody's story. So I don't know what's gotten them to the point they are. And I've come to realize that, call it sowing and reaping or karma or whatever you want to call it, there's already systems, natural systems in place to give people rewards or punishments based on what they do. I don't need to help.
Wow. I'm really realizing what you're saying too, because as I think back on what was a really clear defining switch that I had was I remember a time when I wasn't eating well. I was like traveling for quite a while and I wasn't exercising. I wasn't eating well. And I just felt I was so hard on myself. And I was just like, man, I'm not doing this thing. And And one of my friends was with me and she said, okay, so use that as information, as fact. What are you so upset about? What are you identifying with?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, it feels like it's me. Like I'm so bad and wrong. And, but okay, what if I just detached the identity piece from it? And I was like, here's the information. I know that this would be a better choice. What do I need to do moving forward? Like, what if I didn't make it about me? So I love what you're saying about like detaching the identity piece behind our behaviors and creating that separation and right and wrong and just making different decisions.
And if I'm not attaching love to the way I behave, then that creates a lot of space for me to just love. And that's where unconditional love comes in, where it's like, I love you no matter what. And actually mean it. How many people have said, I love you no matter what? And then they'll come back and say, well, I love you if you take out the trash.
Right.
You know, or another good example, and I think you and I were talking about this the other day, was if you loved me, you would.
It's like the backwards conditional love. Not if I love, or I love you if you do this, but if you loved me, then you would do this.
And that's just as conditional. It's saying, I will give you love and you will prove that you love me if you do this.
Yeah.
And if not, you're proving to me that you don't love me, which feels pretty manipulative to me. Because what if I'm always giving love no matter what I'm doing? What if my behavior and my love were totally different?
My behavior and my love were totally different. How do you even begin to separate the two?
So the way that I started loving myself, and so it starts with truly loving yourself. So I started believing with, I am already worthy because I'm here, because I'm me. And nobody else can be a better me than me.
No one else can be a better me than me. And I can't be a better anyone else.
Right.
I can't. Right. All I can be is me.
And so I started there. And all of a sudden, I wasn't chasing that worthiness. And then I started really feeling into memories where I'd really felt loved by somebody else, because I needed to really sink in what that feeling of love felt like for myself. And so if I couldn't get there for myself, I went to a great example is I was in the airport a few years ago. I was flying in on Valentine's Day to go see my girlfriend. And I came up the escalator. And just as I got to the top of the escalator, she was standing there with a sign that says, "Welcome, Jeremy, I love you." And she's jumping up and down. And like that feeling stuck. And so I would feel back into that memory and feel all that love and be like, you know what? I'm going to give that all back to myself.
Wow.
And I was like, that's the kind of love I want to feel for myself.
So you could just like close your eyes and connect to that memory, mm-hmm. like in a meditation, mm-hmm. and just feel all of that love mm-hmm. from your body
mm-hmm.
and hold on to it, mm-hmm. create it. Mm-hmm. What would you do with all of that?
Yeah. So I would feel it and I would bring it into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just enjoy it. And so, yeah, in a meditation, do it there. And then if I'm starting to feel a little low later in the day, let's go back to that again. Okay, cool. I can generate that love again. Okay, I need a little top off. Let's generate that love again.
I noticed that connecting to that feeling of love for me was a big awareness
mm-hmm.
because I didn't realize before that when I was wanting that feeling of love, I was like fetching for something to
mm-hmm.
do it for me,
mm-hmm.
like food or wanting
mm-hmm.
connection with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like food is such an easy way to, especially if we have childhood
yeah.
memories where
yeah.
food was love,
mm-hmm.
right? Where like we felt nourished by our
yeah.
parents.
Yeah.
Food is love. And then it's like, I'm fetching for it. But then no matter how much you eat, it never makes you feel
mm-hmm.
loved.
Mm-hmm.
And so how powerful that is to start feeling love, then we don't have to force ourselves to not eat
mm-hmm.
the food or overeat. It just kind of gently
yeah.
doesn't need to be needed because it's like
uh-huh.
inside out instead of trying outside in.
Mm-hmm.
Way more powerful, huh?
Yeah. How many people do you know that when they start to feel sick, they go to like a chicken noodle soup?
Yeah.
And it's because it's what mom made or it's what grandma made.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, okay, in that moment where I'm feeling vulnerable, I'm going back to what makes me feel okay.
I had one of my students, and I'm going to share this because she has shared this before. She's podcasted with me, so
mm-hmm.
she's been comfortable talking about it. But she said that she used to want ketchup on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have it. Like
mm-hmm.
every time she went out to eat, she was like obsessed with ketchup. And she had this realization one day. She was like, oh my gosh, I realized it's not even about the taste of ketchup,
mm-hmm.
but her dad had passed away and she was like, ketchup, it reminds me of my dad because he put ketchup on all of our food. And so I feel like I'm being loved by my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so just having that awareness was like, oh my gosh, I actually just want to connect to the feeling of love in my
mm-hmm.
dad and myself.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't even really eat ketchup anymore.
Right.
It's like the craziest
uh-huh.
thing, you know?
Uh-huh. And our bodies will send us signals like that. Like a lot of times when I would coach my clients, they'd be like, oh, I'm always getting the munchies for sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where's your blood sugar at in that moment? Your body's just telling you in the best way it can,
mm-hmm.
hey, something's off.
I need something.
And the only way it knew how to communicate that was Snickers bar.
Yep.
And
totally.
So if I take a minute to understand my body, understand my heart, okay, I'm getting a message from them. What are they trying to share with me right now in this moment?
Mm.
If I take a minute and get mindful with myself and really understand what that message is, then I can understand what the thing that I actually need is. I can give that to myself. And then whatever this messenger is that may be speaking in Snickers, when it's just like, hey, I just need a hug right now.
Yes. Which I think is totally fine too, that to have love, to feel love from our food or our friends
uh-huh.
or our people, but how powerful it also is to like generate it ourselves,
uh-huh.
that we have the capability
uh-huh.
of doing that.
Yes.
How empowering.
Uh-huh. And when we do that, we take back our power.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look outside myself for that love, I'm trading my power for that love. Because in my case, like, yes, I was giving and receiving love, but I was completely dependent on other people, whether they felt like giving it to me or not.
So what do you do if you're in a relationship or with a partner and you want to, like, isn't that just a natural human thing? We want to receive love from our partners. Like,
absolutely.
What if you're not receiving love from your partner and you want more of that love?
I would start with a good, honest conversation. Not in the moment where it's heated.
Yeah.
not when you're just thrown down, but hey, do you have space? Could we have a conversation? This is what I'm feeling. And if I can come at it from, this is my experience, this is what I'm feeling, then the other person's not feeling attacked in that conversation. And hey, let's talk about where I experience these feelings. And so if I'm coming from the perspective of, hey, this was my experience, this was my feelings, I haven't accused you of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, I would like, let's say I would like to receive more love. Okay, let's think about what that actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I want to receive more physical touch? Does that mean I would really feel loved if you helped out more around the house?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I would really feel loved if you got me an unexpected present that was super thoughtful?
Is that conditional then? Are you expecting... Are you creating conditional expectations?
Not necessarily. That's really love languages.
Hmm.
And that's just saying, here's how I would like to receive more love.
Oh.
And it, speaking of love languages, it's funny. I worked with somebody and they spent a week remodeling the home for their girlfriend. And so did this whole thing, created a workspace for her. And she came back and she was actually really sad. And he comes to me, he goes, what happened? And I said, what's your love language and what's hers? And he goes, well, mine's acts of service and hers is quality time. And I was like, well, you just loved her in your love language, which is acts of service, but you just totally gave her nothing in her love language, which is quality time. You hid yourself off for a week and she didn't get any time with you.
Oh, wow.
While you were doing what you would want. And a lot of people will love others the way that they want to be loved.
That seems like such an interesting fine line between a love language and conditional love. Because it's like, if my love language is like giving gifts, then isn't that like the love is there if I'm giving and not if I'm not? Like,
not
it seems almost a little confusing.
I can see the subtleties there.
Yeah.
So if your love language is gifts, let's say then it becomes an expression of love. And let's say you spoke five languages, but your primary language is English. And somebody came to you and said, hey, I love you so much. And let's say your third language was Spanish. And somebody came up to you and said, te amo mucho.
Uh-huh.
We've said the same thing. But your understanding and your comprehension of that may have been different.
Hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, at the core of it, you're still loving the person.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how it, yeah, wow. It's like, I don't need you to be any different.
Right.
I'm still loving you fully, unconditionally.
And
this is how I want to show it.
Uh-huh. And part of it is understanding you. And so part of, especially in a partnership or a friendship, is getting to know somebody so well and understanding the art of expressing love to them.
What's your love language?
Physical touch, and one of the two new ones they added this year, which is shared experiences.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there were previously five. They added two more. One's emotional safety, the other one's shared experiences.
Doesn't everyone love emotional safety? Who doesn't love emotional safety?
Well, the funny thing is there's a lot of people that don't have it, and maybe they don't even know that they don't have it.
Seems like a baseline requirement for a relationship, not a
one
love language.
One would think so, and there's a lot of relationships that just don't have it.
Wow. Okay. Mine's always been quality time, but shared experiences. I mean, I think I kind of lumped those together as quality. I don't know. I really like quality time means a lot to me because it's like time is the one thing you just can't get back. It's like what a gift that we're spending this chunk of our lives together. It's like no one else in the world exists but the two of us right now. We'll never get it back.
Yes. So there's a nuance between quality time and shared experience. Like quality times, we can be hanging out, we can be doing anything, we can be doing nothing. Like shared experiences is we're here in Nicaragua. And we're in it. We're fully present in this experience.
Yeah, I love that.
So for me, shared experience takes quality time up a notch.
So to circle back, so conditional and unconditional love, like if you want to start making that transition, and let's say like you're listening and you're like, wow, I've always placed these conditions on myself. I had to show up a certain way as a mother, as a, you know, in my work, in my health, in how much I work out, in the way that I look, in the way that I give, in all of these conditions. I want to just begin to quiet that judgmental voice that tells me I haven't done enough and just really feel that experience of unconditional love. What would you suggest for people to start taking that journey?
Yeah. So one of the steps you can start with today is find an area where you've placed a condition and say, instead of giving and withholding love based on this condition, is this an area I can set a boundary instead? So instead of giving or withholding love, I'm giving or withholding presence. And I'm setting that to where it feels really good to me.
Well, can you explain that a little bit more? What does that mean? I'm setting presence.
So I'm setting, like, in a boundary, I can show up this much and love you versus if I am stepping beyond that, I'm sacrificing myself. And so to me, a boundary is where is the point at which I can show up fully to you without sacrificing myself.
And you could apply that related to self-love as well.
Apply that to yourself. Hey, where can I show up for myself without sacrificing myself?
Oh, right.
So where can I show up in my food without sacrificing myself? Maybe it's a day of meal prep that would really set me up for success in the week. But if I'm expecting that I'm going to lose 3 hours of sleep in order to eat healthy, maybe I'm sacrificing myself.
Self-love might be that we need the sleep. Right.
The rest might be just as important as the nutrition.
So it can be setting that boundary. And then also, I love that idea that you said that we can start connecting to like an old memory of when we felt loved or felt love. And then cultivating that internally.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's cool. I love that.
Yes.
And you become your own like love generator. And you can just receive it yourself, give it away, give it away.
Yeah. And then the other thing I would do is I would start looking to say, what are some things that I really love about myself? Maybe just find one or two or three things. Just, hey, this is what I love about myself. This is what I'm grateful for about myself. This is what I'm proud of myself for.
Oh, I love that.
And just start noticing that and find those moments, find those memories where you felt a lot of love and just start cultivating those and start building that love tank, that love reservoir.
Like a snowball. It just keeps building and building and building. And then you build momentum and then it just gets easy to just love yourself.
Then all of a sudden it's just what you do and what you are.
It's just what you are.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, this has been so amazing and such a beautiful, beautiful way of pulling out the threads of like, what is love? What is not love? We already are. I actually love how you started this, that love is what we already are. We don't have to become it. We think, oh, I have to get there. I have to love myself, but I'll never make it. It's like, it's already there. It's just stripping away the illusion of what love is. And then it's here.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you want to add today that we didn't touch on or anything you want to leave people with?
I would just leave people with love is simple. And it's also complex. So you're already lovable right where you are today.
Yeah.
And exploring love is a never-ending journey. So enjoy the fact that you're lovable right where you are today. And enjoy the fact that you can always explore more of love. There's always more to find. To me, love is infinite. And so enjoy that journey. Make it fun.
Well said. I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
Amazing. Do you want to tell me a little bit about your book?
Yes. So my book will be coming out soon, and it's called Love Just Is.
Okay.
And it's about reclaiming your authentic self. And so a lot of what we've talked about is covered, but I also go a lot deeper. I share more of my own story in that book.
Yeah.
And you'll have opportunities to hear my story and then also hear my journey, but then also see some practices that you can put into your own life. Wow. In each area of love.
Do you already have that link? Do you already know what the link is? Or you can send it to me when you have it?
I will send it to you when okay. I have it.
Great.
Yes.
And I, the work that you do with people, mm-hmm. is it in person and virtual? Or
yes.
Both?
Yes.
Because I've done some work with you and mm-hmm. you literally blew my mind. It was crazy. I needed, without sharing too much, I needed a lot of help with, I was stuck in this problem. And what was so amazing about the way that you helped guide me was you never told me what to do mm-hmm. or what to think.
Mm-hmm.
You kept showing to me or pointing me to connect to what was my mind, mm-hmm. what was my heart, mm-hmm. what is like my own truth
mm-hmm.
until I really came to like my own conclusions. And I can see like, what's the difference between my own heart and desires versus my mind and fears and worries. And it was just such a phenomenal experience working
mm-hmm.
with you.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so amazing.
Yeah.
You're an incredible facilitator.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And what I've found is both in the world of nutrition, but also in the world of personal journey to wholeness is it's one thing if I tell you what to do. Like if I came to you and said,
yeah,
hey, you
do
need,
this.
Here's your meal plan.
Eat your yeah.
meal plan. It's a whole other thing if we work together and figure out, okay, what's actually causing the resistance to this thing?
Yeah.
What's causing you to self-sabotage when you get into this place?
Yeah.
What's going on under that? And then what's going on underneath that?
Totally.
Because like if we talk about change your mind, change your life, all of a sudden I'm spending all this energy trying to change my negative thoughts into positive thoughts, trying to alchemize all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas if I just get down and figure out what those messages are coming from, all of a sudden the message changes.
Mm-hmm. Who are the types of people that you work with as a transformational coach? What kind of challenges do people have that they come to you with?
So a lot of people struggle with personal safety. A lot of people struggle with their personal power.
Mm.
And so we'll start with safety. We'll go into their personal power.
Do you mean like physical, like abusive? What does safety mean?
It can be. Maybe they've had abuse in their past. Maybe they just feel disempowered. Maybe they just don't feel safe to use their voice.
Oh.
And maybe they were taught, hey, it's not okay. You should just be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we get into getting them to feel safe within themselves and then getting them to reclaim their personal power, then from that place of safety and power, they get to create whatever they want.
Wow.
And so that creation of whatever they want is really exciting.
I definitely feel that because that absolutely showed through in our work together where I was able to find what is true to me, my own voice,
mm-hmm.
and continue to step into myself in a more powerful place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful. And I'm so grateful to have you here.
Yes.
You truly embody everything that you speak, that you share. Just I'm so like, you're the perfect person to talk about unconditional love because you are the most unconditional lover of all love. I remember the other day you were like, I don't care if people love me or not. I love them. I'm just going to keep loving them. They can come in, they can come out. They can love me. They can not. I'm just
uh-huh.
like, wow.
Uh-huh.
Well done.
Thank you. It's such a freeing way to live life.
Yeah,
and
I bet.
It's such a fun journey too. And we're all on this journey.
Mm.
We're all on a journey of love and we
yeah.
get to experience it however we want to.
Oh my gosh. How can people find you or keep learning from you?
Definitely. So if you go to my website, mirrormirrormagic.com, you can engage with me there.
Cool.
We'll have more on social soon.
Cool.
And lots to share.
All right, I'll put all your links in the show notes, and thank you so much for jamming on this with me.
Awesome, loved it. Thank you so much for having me, Gina.
Love you, Jeremy.
Love you.
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally.